Here in part four, I have a slide that shows a picture of Rio de Janeiro in Brazil. This is a favela that you see here, which is an area of the city where people have come from the countryside and built all sorts of housing of different descriptions, very crowded, vulnerable to flooding and landslides. Many of the poorest residents in less developed countries live in makeshift housing, subject to environmental hazards such as this, often without proper water and proper sanitation facilities. This next slide shows the population age 65 and older in China, projected from, well, shown in 1990 and then projected in 2000, 2010, and 2020. And what we can see is that by 2020, which is not very far away, the number of people age 65 and older in China will be equivalent to what is one of the largest countries in the world today. In the slide that follows, which shows the age distribution of older Americans from 1900 to 2000 and a projection to 2050, we see a similar phenomenon, the aging of the population, with a greater and greater proportion of the population in the years past age 65, or in this case, past age 75, and even past age 85. So what this is going to mean is a dramatic change or alteration in the nature of society in many respects. Older people vote differently from younger people. Older people have different health conditions and concerns than younger people. Older people have more expensive health problems than younger people, typically. And older people, for the most part, are living off retirement assets or government programs, whereas younger people, younger adults, that is, are in their earning years. The dependency ratio is the number of younger of children and older people who are being supported by each person of working age. And as the population ages, the dependency ratio can increase substantially. In the next slide, we will talk a little bit about the sex ratio. The first slide with the first graphs show the age and sex profiles of Qatar and Yemen in the mid-1980s. Look at the dramatic imbalances in the two population pyramids. In Yemen in 1985, there is a deficit of males, the result of out-migration to work elsewhere. And in Qatar in 1986, we see a dramatic excess of males, which is the males who've come to work in the oil fields. And it, as you can imagine, produces some very interesting social dynamics to have that kind of an imbalance in that age group. The next slide shows two pie charts for marital status of men and women age 65 or older in 2001. What do we see in the slide? Apparently, 75% of men in this age group are married, but only 44% of women in this age group are married. How can that be? Whom are the men marrying? Well, to some extent, the men are marrying younger women. So a larger proportion can be married because there aren't that many men who are in the older age group to marry the women. And also, of course, there are more women than men in that age group. So the same number of married couples produces a larger fraction of married men than fraction of women who are married. The sex ratio is the ratio of males to females. And the sex ratio above age 65 in the United States is quite a bit less than unity. The next slide shows sex ratios at birth from 1970 to 1987 in China. The sex ratio in most countries and at most periods that we have data for is generally a little bit over one. More males than females are born, but male mortality is higher so that by the late adult years and afterwards, the sex ratio dips below unity, indicating fewer males than females. However, in this graph, we see that the sex ratio rises, and in fact, in the late 1980s, it rises very strongly to levels that have been rarely seen elsewhere in the world. What is happening here? Well, there are a number of factors at work. China introduced a one-child policy, and there is a strong cultural preference for males. So one thing that we see is probably the under-registration of births to females. Unfortunately, we probably also see considerably higher female infant mortality, mortality resulting from, for example, infanticide or neglect, relative neglect of female infants and so on, that has produced a very imbalanced sex ratio in China and is producing a very lopsided population pyramid. There are going to be a lot of Chinese men who will not be able to marry Chinese women. Okay, now the next slide. Briefly talk about place, education, and the status of women. The next slide shows population and demographic rates for the 10 most populous countries in 1995. China, of course, is first with 1,218,800,000. India, 930,000. This was 1995. They are now over 1 billion. And you can see that there is a substantial range of birth rates and death rates, natural increase, total fertility rate, infant mortality rate, and life expectancy and percent urban. There is great diversity across these 10 most populous countries. The United States has a birth rate which is somewhat below that of China, greatly below that of India, a death rate which is actually higher than that of China, about the same as India, a very small natural increase, a total fertility rate of 2, which is actually higher than China, an infant mortality rate that is considerably below India and China's, and life expectancy that is higher for men and women. Indonesia, with 198 million in 1995, had a birth rate intermediate between China and India, a death rate that was lower than India's, a natural increase that was also lower than India's but higher than China's, a high total fertility rate of 2.9, infant mortality rate that was, again, intermediate between China and India, and had life expectancy that was on the low side for males and midway between China and India for females. It was also only 31% urban. This is an example of the kinds of things one can see about countries by looking at their data. The next slide shows the world's largest megacities in 1970 and projected to 2015. In 1970, Tokyo, New York, Shanghai, and Osaka, Japan, were the four largest cities, followed by Mexico City, London, Paris, Buenos Aires, Argentina, Los Angeles, and Beijing, China. In 2015, the picture will be somewhat different. It is projected that Mumbai, also called Bombay, India, will be first with 28 million. Tokyo will be second with 26 million. Lagos, Nigeria, will be 23 million. Dhaka, Bangladesh, also. Sao Paulo, Brazil, 20 million. Karachi, Pakistan, Mexico City, Delhi, New York, and Jakarta. Of the 10 megacities in 2015, only two will be in developed countries, Tokyo and New York. This raises a considerable concern because, of course, unless these megacities are able to introduce sanitation and water supply, transportation, jobs, and the other services that urban residents require, they will have very serious lifestyle and health problems. And finally, one last slide showing maternal mortality ratios in world regions in the early 1990s. Maternal mortality means deaths to women in the course of pregnancy or delivery, labor and delivery. The figures are shown per 100,000 live births. So in the world as a whole, there was a mortality rate of 462 per 100,000 live births. In Africa, the figure was almost twice as high. In Asia, it was about as high as the world level, somewhat lower in Latin America, and only 10 per 100,000 in the more developed countries. Maternal mortality is something that we know through public health and clinical medicine how to prevent to a very great extent. And these dramatically higher rates for most of the world indicate the disparity in health conditions and health opportunities available in these different countries of the world. This is a challenge that we will return to at the end of the course when we talk about the role of epidemiology in public health. But for now, I've kept you long enough, And so let me thank you for your attention and look forward to talking to you again next week. 再见.